Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Rallis India Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Desa.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Rallis India Limited's Q1 FY25 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Gyanendra Shukla, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. S. Nagarajan, Chief Operating Officer, and Ms. Subhra Gourisaria, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the results presentation. I now invite Mr. Shukla to begin proceedings of the call.
Thanks, Gavin. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on our Q1 Fiscal Year 25 earnings call. As mentioned by Gavin, I have alongside with me Nagarajan, our Chief Operating Officer, and Subhra, our CFO. Let me begin the discussion by getting into the industry landscape initially, post which I will discuss Rallis's specific developments. On the industry side, we have seen an early sign of demand recovery after a long time. All of you know that a couple of years have been a little bad. In domestic markets, there's a positive sentiment primarily driven by monsoon prediction of IMD. There was a deficient rainfall till June 2024 that did impact Q1 Fiscal Year 25 sales. But of late, monsoon has started really picking up well, and the Kharif sowing is registering significant growth, about 10% compared to last year. If you look at key crops, paddy is about 21%, soybean is about 30%, maize is 34%, and pigeon pea is about 191%. This is one crop that has seen a significant increase in acres driven by commodity prices. From field reports, what we are hearing, cotton acreages have reduced significantly in the northern part of India. There's one particular pest called pink bollworm that has been bothering the farmers. However, on the export front, recovery remains soft with the key markets like Brazil, U.S., SEA, all they have. So while volumes have started picking up, prices continue to be depressed due to oversupply from China. We think with the ongoing season in the northern hemisphere, including the U.S., should lead to some balancing of the inventory, and hopefully things will start looking positively from there. Coming to Rallis's specific developments, we have started the year with overall revenue being flat. I mean, it's an overall number when you compare with the last year, but there are some, I would say, green shoots there. So, for example, our domestic crop business, crop care business, has delivered positive growth. And seed, as we had indicated in the previous call, we had supply constraint. As a result, we had to take the degrowth. And crop care, I think, is largely domestic as well as international business, as I said, continues to remain under pressure because of the price. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 96 crore. It is lower by about 13% compared to the same quarter last year, with gross contribution margin of 30%. And PAT for the quarter stood at 48 crore compared to the 63 crore reported during Q1 of Fiscal Year 24. Getting more specific about the individual businesses, so starting with domestic crop care business, the crop prices are relatively better, particularly for pulses and oilseeds, and favorable monsoon was the primary growth driver for the business. Input prices were relatively stable during the quarter, which in turn resulted in better margin profitability for the business. In terms of product categories, I think I had indicated in the last call, herbicide is one area which is growing faster, driven by the labor dynamics in the country, has performed well for us. Having said that, I think we still have a gap in our herbicide portfolio, which we are working on. On the back of it, crop care delivered strong volume-led growth of about 8%. Growth was good in both domestic crop protection and crop nutrition business, with year-on-year price drop impacting growth. Now, as we see domestic market, I think prices are stabilized, but our strategy is to continue to grow the business with more thrust on developing differentiated product. We are improving our front-end capabilities based on the theme of customer centricity I talked last time. And as we work more on this, you'll start hearing more about this as we move forward. Our endeavor will be to build a more connected organization leveraging digital. I think, you know, digital will give us the scale, and that's where we'll get closer to the customer. We have also progressed well in our supply chain management strategy, linking demand and supply planning with SAP IBP going live. It was just, you know, launched in the month of August, so work is still going on. But this will help in driving efficiencies on all the fronts. Crop protection, crop nutrition had a very good quarter, and we had a growth of roughly 31%. As it was informed earlier, we also commissioned a water-soluble fertilizer plant during the year. This crop nutrition, as I mentioned last time, is continuing to be our strong pillar for the long-term growth, and we'll continue to invest in this segment. Coming back to international business, our revenue stood at 133 crore, which is lower by 5% compared to the similar period last year. Though we had a decent growth of about 19%, but the price challenge are really impacting overall growth from a revenue perspective. We have some old product like Acephate, Hexa, and Pendi, where prices continue to remain muted, with metric prices actually are almost at the level of half compared to what they were 2 years ago. On the top of that, sea freight has also seen a steep hike as Baltic Dry Index has doubled over last year, impacting margins. In terms of our key products, Acephate continues to face challenges in Brazil and U.S. Pendimethalin operated at low capacity, but we are confident on long-term product of this technical. So we are more optimistic about pendimethalin relative to Acephate in the long term. And Metribuzin and Hexaconazole exhibited a steady traction in the U.S. and Southeast Asian markets. We also progressed well in terms of commencing new relationships with global majors for some of our old technical. In contract manufacturing business, we are also working on expanding formulation alliances with global players to build a more resilient portfolio. This will help us improve the capacity utilization of our state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in the chemical zone in Dahej. We are confident that this business will meaningfully contribute to both top line and bottom line in the years to come. So that's on the chemical side. Shifting gears to seed business. As we said, as I earlier said, look, we had a seed supply shortage in several crops, and as a result of that, our revenue has dropped by 16%. But with the prudent cost management and pricing, we have been able to improve our GC by 4% compared to similar period last year. We also have invested in technology, a tool called SeedSay, which uses AI and ML forecasting abilities to really ensure that optimal placement is happening in the market. I am also very happy to report that Diggaj, the hybrid cotton which we had launched in the north, has seen a good volume growth, and this is on the top of that significant lower cotton area planted in northern part of the country. As far as other crops are concerned, the liquidation trends are satisfactory as rains have picked up everywhere almost now. In terms of our long-term strategy for the business, we are on the right path with the Sarpen portfolio choices and driving sustainability profitability with measures being taken across the value chain. In conclusion, I think near-term outlook for the business, particularly international, remains challenging at least for the next 3 months at least. However, domestic business with the rain and the commodity prices being good, looking positive. We are very confident and optimistic about the overall growth prospect in the medium to long term. Furthermore, our efforts are now directed towards improving, as I said earlier, customer connectivity, leveraging digital, sharpening product portfolio choices. And when I said last time, I really meant that, look, we are going to work more on a differentiated product, you know, also going to phase out some of the products do not make money or are too small and they bring supply chain complexity. We are working on new partnership and alliances to build, renew our portfolio. That concludes my opening remark. Now I'll hand over to Subhra, our CFO, for a detailed analysis of the financials. Subhra, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. I'll quickly walk you through financials and after that we can start the Q&A session. Our revenue stood at 783 crores as against 782 crores for the same period last year. Volume growth was encouraging at 9%, but price challenge, especially in international market, impacted the overall growth. Also, as Mr. Ganesh alluded, supply challenges and seeds has impacted the growth in the business. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 96 crores against 110 crores for the same period last year. Profit PAT for the quarter stood at 48 crores against 63 crores for the same period last year. In terms of domestic business, crop care business, it had a good growth of 13%. Due to poor Rabi crop, we had high trade inventory, which also we corrected during the quarter. However, now we believe sentiments have improved with new MSP and monsoon progressing quite well. As far as seeds is concerned, we did well despite reduced cotton acreages. We have made calibrated placements considering the inventory level and are hopeful that our liquidation trends will be better. International business, the high inventory and benign prices continue to impact sales and profitability. In terms of performance for key technicals, Mr. Kanandar already spoke about. We are working on expanding our customer base and product portfolio to build a more resilient business in this front. Our efforts continue to be directed towards driving focused execution, both at the front and the back end. This includes portfolio optimization, territory rationalization, removing overlaps wherever it's there, and looking at driving cost efficiencies and simplification across the value chain. Our actions around portfolio refresh continues, and we have launched 5 new products in crop care and 14 products in seeds during the quarter. We will continue to be relentless on improving capital efficiencies, both for working and fixed capital. We do have a very healthy cash balance as of 30th June as well, and with no external borrowings. Our capex, we are also very prudent in capex investment and emphasize that expense would be in the range of 100 crores. In summary, we are implementing various initiatives in a drive towards achieving consistent, competitive and profitable growth. That concludes the remarks. We can now start the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Lanu Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First on the gross margin. See, you know, you talked about an increase in prices in seeds and cost management. So the margin in seeds is quite healthy despite the drop in seeds. And, you know, if one looks at the growth in B2C business, one would think the overall gross margin per se for the company as a whole should be better. But, so, you know, the question is that, is it that the international business is making a negative margin or a loss in this particular quarter? So, and if you can just give some perspective, what is driving this loss? Because if I look at other industry B2B players, you know, they are seeing an improvement in margins and recovery in sales as well. But for us, it seems, you know, if you kind of dissect, it seems the business has incurred a loss, the B2B business. So that is one.
Viraj, is there any other question or should we respond?
Can we just start with this?
Okay. See, gross margin has come down not because of international business making any negative margin. So we didn't make negative margin in international business. We have mentioned in the earlier course that we were taking swift actions in terms of liquidating old inventory. overall spreads has indeed compressed, and hence the margins are lower than what we have made historically, but we have not made any negative margins. The overall margin compression has come, A, because the mix has, overall, every year Q1 seats is a larger proportion of the portfolio, and seats mix has come down. As you would have seen, seats has had a negative growth compared to crop care. So while the mix is positive in terms of domestic crop care versus international, it's adverse in case of seeds. Secondly, certainly in case of domestic and international, the relative margins are relatively poorer than the historical margin. Does it help answer your question?
No, see, if you look at seeds margin per se, right, you did around 22% EBITDA margin in seeds as against 20%. The drop is hardly 4 crores on a year-on-year basis. So even if you adjust for that drop in sales and seeds, you've kind of done a very, kind of far better job in terms of managing the profitability in seeds. In domestic, if you look at, you know, the environment, the RM prices are many. So you're reporting a very strong, healthy volume growth. So one would think that, you know, the overall margin, either at the gross or the EBITDA level, would be relatively better. But that is not the case. So I mean, the only thing which adds up is the either the loss or the sharp compression in international business. So that's what I was just trying to come from. And the related part was in other expenses also, you've seen a jump from 125 to 136, while sales is largely flat. So any one off there?
Yeah, so let me first give you my perspective on this margin. So obviously, seed we are up, and as I said earlier, we're going to be managing seed for profitability. Now, when it comes to B2C or B2B in crop care, you have to understand that for us to significantly move margin, when I'm comparing with company A, B, C, D, we have to see the product mix they have or we have. We are a company where our herbicide portfolio, which really for most companies in quarter will comprise most of their sales. Herbicide is one area where I would say we are not very strong. So that is something as we work on portfolio in herbicide, I think that should start changing. So I think it's always a combination of, you know, what product mix I have got and what others have got. So we are aware of this fact, and I think our attempt is to start looking at portfolio and start cleaning up so that, you know, we are continuously improving our margins. And that will only come from portfolio churn. And portfolio churn, no, it's a phase-out process. It's not a start-stop switch.
On the other expenses, sir?
So the other expenses, Viraj, has gone up, one, obviously, because of, we spoke about the contribution to ED, electoral trust. And there is also an element of increase in freight and some investments that we have done behind digital settings there, including migration to SAP HANA.
Okay, just one question if I may. You know, if I look at 2024 as a whole, you know, in the annual report also we talked about around 30 crores of investment in P&L from digital or IT spends. So can you elaborate how are these helped or we expect to help either in terms of better sales throughput or cost efficiency, and how should we understand this run rate going ahead?
Can you just reiterate your question?
So, you know, if you look at it, in 2024, in the annual report, we talked about 28 to 30 crores of spends in the P&L towards digital and IT spends. So, idea was to understand, you know, how these spends are helping us either in terms of better sales throughput or cost efficiency. So, if you can give some examples, and if you can also help us understand, how should we understand this run rate of spends, you know, going ahead?
So if you look at all our digital spend, actually you can categorize into five categories. One is obviously backend is very, very important, which is, you know, SAP S/4HANA, where we are going through complete changeover of our ERP system. That obviously takes time and money. Our efficiency related, we are building a tool called Dristi, and I think it has been talked about in the past, and that's where we're trying to develop how can we use AI and ML technologies, leveraging satellite data, etc., to help farmers warn about flooding, drought, pest pressure so that they can optimize, uses of the chemicals on the crop and hence benefit. Because unless farmers make more money, none of the companies are going to be successful. Other things are really our channel focused, where we call, so we are investing a lot in really getting visibility. One of the challenge we and the industry faces is once product moves from distributor to retailer, there's hardly any visibility, and that shows up in the form of return at the end of the season. So there's something called Anubandh, right? It's a program we are investing in. It's again digitally enabled, really, two things. A, we start getting better visibility of what is happening at the channel level, one more step down beyond distribution. Another also thing, to expand our footprint of retail so that we are reaching to the unreached customer. The other areas where we have, seeds, say, where we are trying to use planning, it's a planning tool to really say how we should plan and how much we should plan. And we're trying to work on some of the leading indicators to really understand how much placement we should make of the seed, because seed is one category. If you place too much, if it comes back, it also leads to a lot of write-off. And the other thing is really, another tool is, which is more related to production planning, tracking, improving the efficiency of seed sowing. Sure. So there are four, five initiatives, and I think sixth one, which I have been talking, is really customer connect. Because so we're trying to look at a lot of internal things. So from a company perspective, ERP, strong ERP is important. Then we have done something which are related to production and tracking and retailer distribution, and now we're talking about customer. So I think as we look at, as we move forward, digital investment is going to further go up, because we would like to understand customer, and it's very, very important to understand your business to get lead indicators ahead of time, because that helps you in planning and forecasting business better. And the other one, we probably have not talked about it. I think manufacturing is one area where we are also evaluating various options and what kind of required automation we can bring, and that can bring efficiency and timely delivery, because everything is very, very important. So we're also looking at automation in manufacturing, and that has not been done yet. But customer and manufacturing automation are two focus areas. Others have started, will continue to improve and invest in those areas. But these two are going to be fresh investment.
Also, to add, Gyanendra, we also have last year, since the reference was about last year, we had invested in a supply chain tool as well, SAP IBP integration called Plan Guru. We're branding it as Plan Guru internally. And of course, that is something that will help us in better forecasting, better logistics. So the question of how it will help us in improvement in operating efficiencies, we believe that this can actually help us in managing our stock flows much better, and also be able to respond to demand changes that inevitably happen during the course of the season in a lot more agile fashion.
I mean, in nutshell, I can tell you, so for example, this year nobody would have thought, the farmers would not plant cotton in north. Such a significant drop will happen. In some of the areas, actually, drop is to the extent of 50%. So what are the things we can do digitally to connect with the market better, and can get some leading indicator to manage business better? I mean, pulses going up, a tour planting going up by 200% is something very unprecedented. Because land is limited in the country. If they are growing so much of one crop, that means the other is going to suffer.
Thank you very much, Viraj. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to two questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Darshita from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question was regarding the supply constraints that we've been seeing in the seeds business. If you could elaborate a little bit on these supply constraints, one, and two, when do we expect, this to smoothen?
So seed supply chain, if I may say, is very complicated. What I want to sell in 2025, for example, I should be taking production this year, right? and parents of those seeds should have, I should have produced in 2023. So it requires 2 years of planning. So that's one, and you need to have a parent, enough parents to produce. The second thing is seed production for majority of the crop we are dealing with happens in the Rabi season of southern India. So most of the seed is being produced in Andhra, Telangana, and a little bit in Karnataka, Maharashtra, and Tamil Nadu. Now, last 2 years have seen significant drought right from the month of September all the way to November, December in this part. So there were 2 years where there was excess rainfall, planting got delayed, and then last year was significant water shortage. As a result, farmers decided, there was a competition for what you call seed crop acres. So those are the things led to really less production. The other thing is we are also becoming, we are raising our bar on the quality standard, because in seed, so when seed comes back, you have to test it and check it for its integrity from a purity and germination perspective. So all those things also sometimes lead to, these shortages. Now, the other thing is, this is one category where I keep too much of inventory, right, in anticipation of demand, which also means I lock in working capital for a long period, which I think is not desirable. So we're trying to fine-tune in such a way, and my colleague Nagarajan mentioned about some of the tools we are using to really forecast demand and produce accordingly. So it's a combination of things. It's a complicated supply chain. I think we're just trying to manage it, the whole business, for profit, rather than trying to say, we'll just chase the volume in this, because seed inventory can come to haunt us, very badly. It all becomes write-off.
Right. Got that. Second one was, it was a clarification. I think Shubha ma'am mentioned that we have seen a margin compression in the domestic market as well. Did I hear it correct?
Yeah, relatively, yes, you're right, Darshita, because also I said that we corrected inventory from Rabi, and Rabi inventory made higher margin for us. In terms of the Kharif placement, we are well on track in terms of the margin as well as the plan that we had. But now monsoons picking up, hopefully the liquidation should be improving.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akila from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for taking my questions. I'll maybe just start with a couple on the seed side. Would it be possible to give us some flavor of, the crop-wise breakdown of the seeds business? Just rough numbers would also be great. And in terms of the YOY growth or the decline that we've seen, is that coming primarily from the non-cotton categories? How should we think about that? Thank you.
So if you see our business, the two areas where we had supply challenges primarily was hybrid maize as well as hybrid paddy.
So cotton was indeed actually, Abhijit, north cotton, we said we had very good momentum. South and west cotton, we have to yet see how the liquidation progresses, but it's not a big part of our portfolio. So paddy and maize were the bigger dippers for us.
And they are a significant part of our revenue.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. And just in the context of this pink bollworm infestation in the north, what's your early sense about how Diggaj and your other hybrids are sort of, coping with the challenge of the pest attack over there? Do you see them sort of withstanding the attack and thereby maybe generating better demand for next season from the farming community?
So I think it's a very, very difficult situation for the farmer, because each company has a common denominator of Bollgard 2 gene as their technology platform. So seed per se cannot control pink bollworm, right? So whether it's Diggaj or anything else, any competitor product, what we are looking at is because our seed in last 2 years has performed very well in the farmer's field, in the comparable situations is all always relative performance. Everybody has pink bollworm issue. I think what we are trying to do, our team is on the ground, and we're trying to really educate farmers what kind of strategy they can adopt from crop protection perspective to save their crop. And every company is trying to do that. But given the everything else being at par, I think they just performed well, and that's why demand was very high this year.
Maybe if I can add a little bit, Gyanendra, I think, I believe the purchases for this year have been very, very encouraging. And obviously, the purchases for this year are driven by the performance and the experience over the prior years. And therefore, if you kind of recall, we had moved from 2 lakh packets a couple of years back to about 4 lakh packets last year. Clearly demonstrating that the proposition of a shorter duration to kind of beat the pink bollworm impact has been very well received, and that is what has played out in this particular quarter for us. We believe the liquidation also will be very high. In fact, it is in some of the pockets where it is complete. The experience of the farmers this year is going to be very critical for the future. So the key monitorable from our point of view, and which of course we will really be focused on, is the experience in terms of the yield after 2 pickings, for example, and kind of see how it compares with various other brands. So I think that's really where we are, and we are positive at this point in time.
Thank you very much, Avijit. I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question, on the export demand, especially for our key crops, if you can highlight the pricing and demand trend there, because I think in the initial comments we did mention that Pendi had a lower capacity utilization, wherein, if I'm not wrong, we were planning to expand the capacity. So if you could highlight some comments there.
So of all the molecules we produce, I think Pendi is one which has a good future. It has continuing demand. Having said that, I think industry is still dealing with the oversupplies from the previous productions, right? And so other product where I think we face challenge is really acephate, because that product, not only could come under significant regulatory review, but suffers from the same fate as it is only a sold in certain markets, not sold in certain markets. So how the supply situation is in those markets, that determines at what price we can sell. So I would at this point of time say acephate is a larger challenge than pendimethalin, because, I mean, we like it or not, China will be there, they will continue to supply. So we'll have to become, we also have to start internally looking how do we become more efficient producer there and be competitive.
Sure. So from a full year growth perspective, given the pricing is what it is, would it be fair to say that large part of the growth will be volume led while pricing may still be, an overhang in terms of overall revenues for exports?
So it's very, very difficult to say what will happen, 10 months from now, 11 months from now. But what we see is, if you start splitting our business in the segments, as I said, domestic formulation demand is looking good. For the various factors I mentioned. Seed, majority of our season is over. We are primarily, bulk of the business happens in Kharif, and the only adjustment would be related to how much, return comes versus what we have estimated. So that adjustment you will see probably in the subsequent quarters. And domestic season, is actually coming big. Then you have obviously CSM business, I think, CSM business also has the same dynamics as international business, while, contracts are slightly different. On international, I guess if you go around the world, commodity prices are low, but consumption is taking place, prices have not improved. So I guess a little bit of this inventory in the system, nobody is able to predict, neither I am able to predict. There's no crystal ball in my hand to say what will happen. Having said that, I think we have to start becoming efficient on our cost and customer relationship. That's the only way to manage the situation. And start looking for new molecules, new products, and phase out some of the older ones.
Thank you, Ankur. Kindly join the queue again for a follow-up question. Next question is from line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you very much. So if you are looking at the current progress in the monsoon, is it possible to give us some indication of what is the kind of volume growth you can expect in the domestic market? And is the 19% volume growth you reported in exports kind of sustainable over the next few quarters? And what is the sense here?
So obviously I can't give you a percentage, you know, it's very, very difficult to say what percentage, but given the sentiments, you know, we are expecting a significant growth. And you have seen that has happened in the past quarter as well. Because when prices are decent and planting is there, rainfall situation is certain, farmers do try to maximize their yield and return, and that's where crop protection do play a very, very important role. Our attempt would be to try to take a full advantage of the situation which is in front of us.
So in terms of the export volumes, do you see the trend continuing?
So export, I think, so obviously from a volume perspective, things have started moving. Pricing is something nobody knows. And again, it depends on the molecule, because one of your colleague did mention, person on the call, that others have seen. So it depends on the what molecule we are talking, because every molecule has its own dynamics in market.
So in terms of margin, is there some sense you have in terms of when you can see margins achieved, what you did a year ago, say, to take a full year?
So I cannot give you numbers, but all I can tell you, the initiatives we are taking, and some of these initiatives for us being a seasonal business, you don't see in a very short period of time. So fundamentally, we are trying to look at our organization differently, trying to get it more focused on the business units. We are double dialing up on the partnership and collaborations. As I said, we are looking at portfolio. But you also have to understand portfolio, you have to do analysis, and you have to make sure you are able to exhaust inventory. So a transition to more profitable, differentiated product itself is a journey, which means you have to identify old product, do that proper analysis, phase out them. But I said, look, crop nutrition is looking very attractive, and this is something we want to, it's a relatively higher margin. And seed also is a higher margin, and we want to manage for profitability.
Thank you. As Ramesh, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Participants, kindly restrict to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama Institutional. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. The question is on this. You mentioned that rationalization of the portfolio in agrochemicals, where you want to focus more on herbicide portfolio, which is weak. So what strategies you are looking at, whether you are getting into more collaboration with the global partners, global players, or going to develop your own molecules, launch by yourself, more in generic or in special categories or specialty chemicals. So what is the strategy you are going to adopt in to strengthen your product basket?
So I said two things, not only herbicide, the crop nutrition. I also said even in insecticide and fungicide, which is a larger chunk of the portfolio in crop care, there also our attempt is to slowly phase out low margin and start bringing new and differentiated product where margins are relatively better. Now, obviously, we are not looking at doing everything on our own. Even if that means, you know, we have, and I have been talking about partnership and collaboration as important part of the strategy, so that we are able to partner with the companies, both global as well as Indian companies, to bring those products and bring, refresh the portfolio. Now, these things do take time, you know, it's not something, you know, you can do overnight. So it's a combination of things, not one thing.
So you mentioned that definitely you will be looking at more of the collaborative partnership, I mean, with the global players.
I think we are moving to a mindset to say we have to make a smart decision, make versus buy, right? In a world where so many supply chain and product partnerships are available, we have to be very prudent in making decisions. So whatever is financially better, that's the decision we should make. And obviously there's a point on supply chain certainty. So our decisions are more going to be based on make versus buy, pure economical decision, combining with the making sure there's a certainty of supplies.
Just to add, product that we launched in this quarter, one of the products we launched, Mark Plus One, is actually a 9-3 product, which is in collaboration with one of the majors. So I think there would be examples, and like what Janinder said, it will be a combination of both partnerships as well as prudent buys and in-house products as well.
So similarly, in our export market also, you mentioned like product like Matri and all have seen a significant price drop, almost half. However, you have seen a significant volume-led growth of almost 19% in exports. So just want to know that this very solid volume-led growth, which is in the current quarter, it's driven by what? Inventory restocking happening globally, or the demand has picked up globally? What is driving this? And second, with such a sharp price drop in some of the molecules which we are making intermediates, do you see that the gross margin in this business will remain at the lower end only and probably will drag the overall profitability? It was also surprising to see when Shubhra mentioned that we didn't have any inventory-led losses in export business despite such a heavy price drop. So it is not able to figure out the math that what earlier participants also asked, that we had a seed business which is a 22% margin in the current quarter. Domestic business should have a better margin, but still we had a 12% overall margin, which should be only the function of that international business would have been in the red. But we're still not able to figure it out that how the margins are actually in an international business or in export business, which is such a price.
So maybe I can provide you some color on that, if I may, Dr. Jagannath.
Yeah, please go ahead.
See, I think you are right. I think the volumes have actually been better on the international business for most of our products, except the two that Dr. Ganendra called out. One, of course, pendimethalin and acephate. What is driving the volume growth in these other products? I think the farmer level demand, because of, let's say, destocking that has played out, the farmer level demand has actually been fairly robust continuously. But I think the intermediary level demand, I mean the stock levels, have influenced the volumes that people like us are able to accomplish. So I think that has certainly changed, and we are finding that for the other products, the volumes have picked up. However, prices have continued to remain under pressure, and that is why margins, the contribution levels, for example, in the case of the international business have been lower than last year. With respect to your query about the math on this and the earlier caller's question as well, I think one way I can try and help you with that is if you look at our quarter one EBITDA at 96 crores, last year was 110 crores. So that's a drop of about 14 crores. Right, 4 crores is the drop. You can see this in the investor deck actually, there is a 4 crore drop in seeds, which already Shubhra explained, leaving you with a 10 crore drop in the crop care area. And a large contribution to this 10 crore EBITDA drop is coming from the international business gross contribution drop, which I just now alluded to. But despite that drop, the profitability, that is EBITDA of the the export business, because 10 crores is a drop, but it doesn't really make it negative. So that's really the math to kind of reconcile the fact that the business has remained profitable. And of course, we have had specific deals where we have had, let's say, prices with very, very little margin because of the inventory that we were holding, but we have not, as a export business, lost money is what we would say at the EBITDA level. I hope it helps.
Thank you very much. Rohan, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. So just two questions. One with respect to how much was the price decline when it comes to domestic markets? We had a volume growth of 13%. Was there any price decline in the domestic market? You've not given the split.
So the volume decline in domestic business, price decline was upwards of 10%. And this is YOY decline. So the quarter-on-quarter decline has come down. But obviously because Q1 was on a higher price last year, it's 14% decline.
Right. And with respect to the 13% volume growth, if you can share which products have worked better, and with respect to price decline also, which products have not worked better? If you can just throw some light on that as well.
So, large part of this volume growth is coming from herbicides. Albeit it's a small part of our portfolio, but we have seen good momentum in herbicide business in our domestic portfolio. Plus, some of the recent launches, we called out Cluster in our press release as well. Some of the recent launches has picked up there. So, that's how the volume growth has come through.
Okay, and where have we seen the price decline?
So, price declines are coming in parts of the portfolio where we compete directly and we have to be... price as far as the market is concerned. So that's where the price declines are coming. So we have a fair bit of matrix in which we split our portfolio. Portfolio which is not very differentiated and where we have not a great share in terms of brand is where the price decline is largely coming from.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's it from my end.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ravi Prohit from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one broader, you know, question, Mr. Shukla, for you, since you know it's been now 4 months that you've been in the company, and you know, if you could just share, you know, what have been your learnings so far? I mean, Rallis is probably the only Tata Group company which where you know profits are same where they were 10 years back, even today. You know, so you know what changes are you looking to make? What have gone wrong over the last 10 years? And you know, how should investors look forward to in Rallis, you know, with your experience? What should we expect over the next 3 to 5 years? If you could just share, that would be very helpful for investors at large to understand where the company is, you know, headed to over the next 3 to 5 years.
So one of the things I can reiterate, as I said last time, was that group is committed to this business and there's a lot of support. And I've been saying this is the only direct farmer-facing business we have. So there's a lot of commitment to grow this business. And I probably might be just reiterating what I've been saying is, so we're in the right businesses. You know, seed is a business, if it is run for profitability, is a very, very good business to be. Crop nutrition is a very good opportunity where I see a growth as well as, you know, healthier margin, because beyond bulk fertilizer, there's a lot of scope to grow the business and help farmer make more money, because any company, unless can help farmer make more money, is not going to win the heart of the farmer. So those two areas from a business sector perspective, very important. And coming to crop protection, I think we have been weaker on herbicides. We are working on it. And you know, even this year also, as Nagarajan has mentioned, we have launched a product. And so we will continue to focus on that, because that is driven by labor dynamics of the country, where labor is available. Mostly it's not available, and it's available, it's becoming very, very expensive, and there herbicide uses come to play. Having said that, fungicide and insecticide will also remain very, very important. So from a portfolio perspective, we are in the right segment. I think what we need to, what you would see over a period of time, we'll launch new differentiated product. We'll transition to new product by slowly phasing out old product, which are less. They do not contribute to profitability and they unnecessarily create supply chain complexity. So that process you will start seeing. Obviously, it's a phase out. When I say phase out, doesn't mean it'll happen next month. It does. It's a process, right? Now, from a product sourcing perspective, we do have our own R&D, and as we have reiterated in multiple calls in the past, that We are trying to now build an integrated facility which should be ready in 2 years of time, where bring our two R&D capacities together at once, enter in Bangalore. So we'll continue to invest in R&D in the right areas. And from a product sourcing perspective, we are going to be very, very thoughtful about partnership and collaboration. So the mindset of I should do everything on our own, I think we are moving away from that to be a more collaborative partner for global companies as well as domestic companies, because I personally believe we have a very strong Tata and Rally's brand in the market, which works very well for us. So same product launched by us can get a faster and better traction in the market compared to a relatively unknown company. So partnership and collaborations are going to be key pillar. I also talked about, investing in customer-facing digital initiatives. So I think a lot of work has been done and will continue to augment that, which is more internal efficiency planning and accounting and everything else. But tracking retail and customer and spending time with the farmers, leveraging digital, because digital give us a scale. I mean, there are only so many people a company can deploy in the marketplace and get access to the farmer and get a consistent message. So we're going to be investing on more customer side digital investment that includes training, marketing material, leveraging them to get lead indicators that helps in planning our business better. So that's on the digital side. And as I said, look, manufacturing also, we are going to have a deep dive to really see how do we make sure each of our products remain profitable and competitive in the market. And that's where we are not only looking at the product, product life cycle, at what life cycle they are, and global regulatory framework where things understand. We're also going to invest in automation to really bring efficiency in our production and supply chain. So those are broadly areas. And the last but not the least is investment in people. I think, we are moving, we are looking at some significant leadership changes wherever required to bring some fresh thinking. And also looking at not only from the perspective of what is the right, also right sizing the organization. And some of those things, as you move forward, you'll start seeing. Ultimately, the goal is that we should be able to deliver higher return on capital to the shareholders.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot. We look forward to seeing the things that you mentioned today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next follow-up question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the follow-up, sir. One is actually just on, the cotton seeds business that we were discussing earlier. So just to sort of check versus the 4 lakh packets that we did last year, what's an approximate number we would look to maybe end this year with? Obviously, assuming there is no significant sales returns. Second thing is just on the innovation turnover index, the ITI number, given the kind of traction you're getting with Class 2 and certain others, is there a broad number, ballpark, where we would expect that index to end up with for fiscal 25? And finally, just your sense on how the margins in crop nutrition compare with the margins in the overall crop care business. That would be it. Thank you so much.
I think there's a normalized margin and the margin we make. Our attempt is to move from the margin we make to the normalized margin, right? So if you say normalized margin as a sector, seed generally has higher than crop nutrition, and crop care is just below, crop protection is just below crop nutrition now. The caveat here is that on the mix of portfolio, if you get a differentiated product, which is well received in the market, your margins could be very high. But at a macro level, I would say crop protection followed by crop nutrition followed by seed.
So, Abhijit, maybe I'll answer your question on cotton. So, cotton overall, I think we are hopeful that this year we'll do highest ever cotton package between North Cotton and Southwest Cotton. Obviously, Southwest Cotton liquidation trends are yet to be seen. North Cotton, looking at the liquidation trends, again, we are hopeful that we should be able to get significant growth over last year's actual liquidation. And this was also in a way constrained by the packets that we got in terms of production. So it was, if it was unconstrained, we would have got further high volumes on cotton. Crop nutrition, I think Mr. Shukla already alluded that it does make better margins. And given the fact that we share common resources in terms of crop protection and nutrition in terms of front end, we do get a significant benefit in terms of bottom line.
Got it. And on the ITI, please, Shubhra, if possible.
So ITI RBGs is difficult to say because it's last 4 years, contribution of it versus the overall portfolio, and we do expect the overall portfolio to grow as well. Having said that, our ambition is certainly, as we said earlier as well, that ITI should start moving to high teens, and which is where we are seeing an uptick happening in first quarter as well.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Next question, next follow-up question is from Nan Garshita from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again.
Garshita, can you speak a little louder, please?
Is it better now?
Little better.
We can hear you.
Yeah. So we've heard that there has been an increase in the technical prices in the domestic market, largely due to the freight issues that we've been seeing. So, you know, if you could suggest if something like this that is happening with us as well, and if this would, you know, put some pressure on margins probably sometime in the second or the third quarter in the domestic market.
Maybe I can take that, Dr. Gyanendra.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think we have to look at the time scale. Actually, if you compare it with last year, that is YOY, that may not be necessarily correct. But if you're comparing it in short run, that is, let's say, MOM or QO on Q, what you're saying, yes, there are certain technicals where the certainly the raw material prices as well as the technical prices are creeping up. We will have to really see product by product. In some products where the brand strength is there to absorb these increases, it would be possible, but certainly there would be some where it may be leading to some kind of margin compression. It's hard to say at an overall level.
Got it. And one question on if we have taken any price hikes probably on sequential basis, especially ever since, in the domestic market that is, ever since the monsoon has picked up.
Our pricing has actually been very, very product specific. I mean, I think there are products where we increase, there are products we reduce. That is more dictated by the strengths of our product and the demand that we are out looking for that product. So to answer your question, some products, yes. But most of the products, I would say, have actually had a reduction, most of the products. If you compare it, I would say YOY is a better comparison because if you compare sequentially, the products that go into kharif and the products, I mean, there's a difference, you know, right now we've had more of herbicides and all of that going. So YOY, I would say pretty much most products, there would have been a decline.
Thank you. Darshita, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the overcapacity in China. So we are hearing from other players that there is many capacities in the Chinese mainland has been shut down. And their inventory level are also on the higher side. So can you comment regarding that?
Yes, I think that is correct. I think we have also got a lot of inputs about high capacity. Yes, some of them are closed down, but I think the supply is pretty high, which is what is causing the price, it's creating a lid on the price to move, even if there is a volumetric demand at the farm level, which is robust. So yes, I think that is true.
Yeah, and with regard to inventory levels at distributor and retailers in domestic and international market, can you comment on that as well?
So international supplies certainly continue. There's no dearth of material. North America is going through a big season, and then Latin America, these are the two largest markets they will consume, including China, ASEAN, and India. I think at a domestic level, I'm sure you are aware that
that many companies were stuck with inventory, and that's one of the reasons, you know, prices are still subdued because everybody is trying to convert that, you know, inventory to cash and also make sure their products are available during the season. So, but having said that, I think as monsoon progresses, sentiments are positive. I believe, you know, companies also have been very careful in planning subsequent inventories. So I think at a domestic level, situation to only improve, not get worse.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much. So, there has been an inventory impact in the first quarter. Is it possible to give a value to that inventory impact? And secondly, in the crop care business, the revenue is 428 crores. Can we have a split between domestic crop protection and the crop nutrition, either in numbers or in percentage?
So we keep doing this inventory. We look at trade inventory and look at what is it that is sustainable and do the inventory correction at periodic levels. As I mentioned, there was in some parts of the market high Rabi inventory, which we did correction in the quarter, but I don't expect, I don't think that it's a sizable number to be called out. As far as your question around crop protection and nutrition is concerned, we already call out that it is, for instance, in the last year, we did around 180 crores of crop nutrition business. So it's currently around maybe 15% of our overall domestic crop care business, 10 to 15%.
Okay, and secondly, if you're looking at, say, FY 26-27, do you see any additional levers for growth like your manufacturing business, or would it still depend on the export business improving and the domestic business improving in terms of pricing and margin? How do you see, say, FY 26-27 from where we are today?
I think I have already articulated as part of my broader strategic intent that we want to make sure because there's always a B2B, and which is important, is not less important. But our focus big way is going to be in B2B, and three segments, as I said, are important. Growing crop protection, and within that, making sure our herbicide portfolio gets beefed up. We start putting extra foot on nutrition and seed manage for profitability. The one more thing I want to really talk about it, crop nutrition, because of the sentiments, crop protection, because of sentiments around, you know, pesticides in general, based on what has happened recently in spices market. We are also conscious of that fact, and we are also going to be investing in new age portfolio, which is more based on peptides, enzymes, and biologicals. And that eventually will become fourth segment, you know, as we move forward. From a customer perspective.
Okay, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is largely on seed business. Just three specific questions. First is, do you expect any sales return to happen in Q2 or the rest of the year based on the placement we have made in Q1? Second is, you know, if you look at the R&D spend, you know, for which we did say in FY24 also, we did something like 50 crores of R&D spend, and that has itself has doubled in the last 5 years. Now, of this 60 crores, roughly half, around 30 crores, we've done in seed, so that roughly translates to almost 8 to 10% of sales of the seed business. So question is, what corrections in our new product selection and R&D approach for that we have give some sense of the efficiency of these spend. But in the past, we have seen a lot of...
Viraj, sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is that, you know, we have seen a good amount of spend happening in R&D in the seed portfolio. So in 24, we did something like 8 to 10% of our sales in R&D in the seed business. And this is a business where in the past also we have done a lot of spends, but we have seen a good amount of impairment and write-offs and all. So the question is, what correction either in the selection process, in new products, or in the process which we have done, which gives us the confidence that we will see a better efficiency of the spend?
That's the second question. And third is, do we expect this trend to continue going forward?
So I think, look, two investments are very critical for us. One is related to R&D, and second one is related to investing in the people. So these two areas we will continue to invest. Now your question is whether our R&D seed has been efficient or not. There's not much I can tell you now, but there's a work going on to say how do we get more focused in R&D and what are the new tools of R&D we can deploy to improve the outcome of our R&D.
The average age profile of the products, average age profile of the product portfolio in seeds, and what avenues we think we have in the interim which can drive growth? Because R&D itself is in seeds it can take somewhere between 7 to 10 years, from ID to actually commercialization. So if you can give some perspective.
As I said, look, in normal course, you're right. I think, now it cannot be 7 to 10 years because there are a lot of modern breeding tools are becoming available. And our attempt would be that get that money focused on few things rather than thinly spreading it. Second thing is also investing that money wisely in the newer technologies so that we can reduce the time of product development and launch, because 8 to 10 years is really very long, and no company can get into that and hope to be successful, because by the time you develop product, the competition moves on. So we're looking at both the aspects, say what we do in a very focused manner and what kind of new technological tools we deploy to make R&D more efficient.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Rajkumar Vaidyanathan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the exports. So if I see the presentation, it says there's a 19% volume growth and leading to 5% value decline. So that means approximately there's a 20% price decline. So I just want to know, given that you reported negative growth in Q2, Q3 and Q4 of last year on exports, so does it mean that sequentially we have seen an improvement in terms of the pricing?
See, doctor, depends on the portfolio mix. So I don't think we can just add up the numbers and say that. But having said that, I mentioned in the earlier call as well that the year-on-year price drop is now going to get anniversarized. So we will start seeing hopefully not such steep price decline, which should probably manifest in better growth numbers. But the situation is quite volatile and it's difficult for us to say how Q2 or Q3
will run out. Yeah, ma'am, because in Q2 you reported 50% decline in exports, and Q3 and Q4 also had significant decline. So compared to that, in current Q1 you are reporting only 20% decline in price. So that is why I'm asking this question. So sequentially then you should have seen an improvement, right, from a price issue.
Yeah. So sequentially price drops have stabilized. So sequentially price growth, at least moderation you will start seeing.
Okay. And also there was a point mentioned about the buy versus make decision. So I was just, my question is, so are we looking at any asset-light model when it comes to exports? Because companies like, if you take companies like Sharda CropKill, so they have been able to kind of mitigate this price decline because of asset-light model. So I just want to know, what do you think that you are kind of late into the, the export market by pursuing the manufacturing-led strategy?
Yeah, so look, we have already made significant investment in the manufacturing, and our attempt is to really make sure we sweat it out better. Having said that, as we get more relationship abroad, we are going to be making more prudent decision that whether we have to make on our own or we can do things differently. So it's not one approach cast in the stone. We are going to be flexible. I think the whole idea is that how do we grow business and how do we return, how do we generate better return on the capital employed.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as a last question. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I just want to say thank you very much for all your questions. I think they're important to us. They always keep us on the toes, you know, to make sure we live up to your expectations. But you have to understand, we are in a very complex business cycle, and with a lot of external variable, our attempt is to really bring more certainty to the business. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Rallis India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.